Welcome everybody to Office 365 Developer Webcast, and this time we're going to talk about something really interesting, which is getting started on a web stack. If you think about the traditional SharePoint development, we've been doing maybe development in a farm solutions, or we transitioned to the adding model development with the JavaScript-based implementations. Now, classically, maybe the SharePoint development haven't been using the web stack technologies as in the same way as we might have they granted about those new technologies which are available. So today we're going to talk about these things together with Stefan and Waldeck. And Waldeck, this time I got your last name correct in the slides,
yes,
as well.
Yes, I saw that. Cool. Thank you.
So my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in Office 365 Engineering. And I'll let Stefan and Waldeck do their introductions as well. So Stefan, feel free.
Hi, my name is Stefan Bauer. I live in Austria and I work as an information architect here. And I'm a SharePoint Office Development MVP.
Hello everyone, my name is Valik Mastigas. I am an Office Development MVP. I work as the man at Rancor. And today we will talk about the web stack.
Sounds good. So I'll let Stefan and Waldeck lead the session. I'll be asking a question again during the slides and presentations, and we will have nice demos coming up with this one as well. But Stefan, feel free to take it away.
Thank you. First, what we showed you in the first webcast, what we did, we had two separate projects, a design project and development project. And in my design project, I use a tool called Yeoman, which is a scaffold project generator for regular web applications. It's pretty common used in the web, and there are many generators out there to create your own projects. And in our Office Contact project, I used it to create the style guide. So to those developers that use Visual Studio, what you can say in Yeoman is you just create a new project that is from type web app that relates to a Visual Studio project that you create. And what you then get in your file system, you get everything you need to start development, start with the development to develop a new web application. You get in there a web server, you get the SaaS support, to be more specific for the web app, you get something to write JavaScript, a new version that will be compiled to regular JavaScript. And this web app template from Yeoman is broadly used throughout the web for all kind of web development projects.
So did you build the project on Windows or on OS X?
I built the project on OS X, but it works the same way on Windows. In my past projects, I worked together with many developers that used Yeoman, the web application, because on Windows, and we use the same project to set up a style guide, branding, and SharePoint and stuff like that. So it's really interchangeable. So a Windows user can use it as well as a macOS user like I am.
So is that a tool that you have to install separately on Windows and on OS X, or how does that work?
Yeah, first what you need to install there is you have to install Node.js first. Then you have to install the Node.js package management, and then you can install Yeoman. After that, you can install various generators like the web app generator or the YoOffice generator to set up or create your new projects. And this you have to do on Windows, and you also have to do it on macOS. It works similar the same way. On Windows, you have some additional tools that you need to install because some of the components of Yeoman build binaries. And for that, you have to install the Python version 2.7 as well as a C++ compiler, because some components might use those parts of the development stack from Node.js.
Cool. So is it easy to install? Is there a wizard that you can run, or do you have to hack commands and to get everything in place?
You have to hack commands. I mean, there's an installer for the Node.js available that can be downloaded from the Node.js website, but and you then have to look for Python on the website. And there's a really detailed information how to install Node and how to install Python that way.
Cool.
We also added, I think, Wazo. There is another project that is the Office 365 JavaScript project on GitHub that has recently been started as part of the PNP.
Yeah, which are using exactly the same kind of development and design stacks. Yep.
Yeah, and on this website we also have the installation, how you install Python and how you install C++ on a Windows client. When you have, for example, Visual Studio installed, it's way easier because Visual Studio provides a plugin to install Python, and it can directly find inside the Visual Studio. And when you have Visual Studio installed, you also have C++ installed, and it's a way easier approach to install Node.js and use Yeoman, because it's already installed. Without Visual Studio, you have to install Python and C++ on your own.
Yeah. So in a way, you would actually say that it's easier for you to move over to or to try this new app stack being .NET developer, having all the tools in place, as opposite where you start all clean and you don't have anything.
Yeah, that's true. So when you have Visual Studio already installed, then it's much easier to get started with this development stack. And if you don't have Visual Studio, then you have to install everything on your own that Node requires. In addition, the Python version 2.7 and C++ compiler and stuff like that. Yeah.
Makes sense. What about this other stuff, what we have on the slide? So looking into it, we have the Yeoman, we have the Node.js, which is kind of a basic setup. And we'll come back on this terminology and what they actually are slightly later. We have NPM, Gulp, Webpack. I think some of these might be unclear for the people who are watching the video.
Yeah, so for the dev project, we actually use similar stack, very similar. We also build the whole thing on Node, and we only use Node as framework for our tools. We will talk about it in more detail soon, but it is there. It is actually the basis for all our tools. On top of that, we used NPM, and you can best compare NPM to NuGet. It's similar tool. Then we use Yeoman that you've already heard about. Then we use Gulp, and Gulp, you could compare Gulp to MS Build. It's basically a tool that allows you to run tasks. It can be anything from copying files, minifying, optimizing, packaging, anything. And when you want to package your app, for that we use Webpack. That's a tool that basically allow you to bundle your web app into bundles, right? So similar to what you would do in ASP.NET MVC. And then for the client side, you can basically use anything you want. You can use Angular, React, Ember, jQuery, Knockout, anything you want. There is no limit there. It's basically your stack and experience that gives the direction, and there are no limits there. When you work with Angular, it makes a lot of sense if you build Office 365 apps to use ADAL. ADAL is a library that makes it really easy for your app to authenticate against AAD. And that works really great with Angular. You only plug it in and it works. And currently it works with Angular 1. If you would like to start working with Angular 2, as far as I know, there is no ADAL available for it yet, but I hope it will be, because it simplifies your job a lot as a dev. And then, given the fact that you are on a dev stack and you might use framework that doesn't have an Office SDK available yet, you'll likely use REST APIs. And the great thing about them is that they work exactly the same everywhere. So whether you are server side, client side, or even on your phone, REST APIs are exactly the same. You call an API, you execute a web request, and in the response, you get everything that you wanted to have, right? And finally, we use VS Code as the editor. is lightweight and it's fast. And I built actually the app that we showed in the other appcast on the OS X, right? And VS Code works really great on OS X. So that's the editor that I use. But there are many more available, and you can just pick and choose either one of them.
Or even use Notepad for that case, but I don't think that's the preference anyway.
If you like hurting yourself and suffering pain, you can use Notepad.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I wanted to still come back on the design project, so building web server with SaaS support. Can you, Stefan, slightly open up what does the SaaS support actually mean?
SaaS is a CSS precompile language, so it gives you the ability that you have in normal programming languages to build up your SaaS. For example, you can you can define all your colors in variables, you can define font sizes in variables, you can create functions that makes your CSS files way easier to change. So basically you can create themes, and when you write CSS the normal way, you have a really huge file, for example, that easily can get up to 5,000 lines of code. But with what you also can do is with SAS, you can break up your big CSS into smaller files and then have a more and better structured CSS at the end. Because you write in SAS in the programming language and what it outputs is just regular CSS. And what also the web app project have included is a tool called AutoPrefixer. So after the SAS file have been generated, it searches for vendor prefixes for older browsers. So you don't have to worry about this, for example, because you also can define there, I want to support the last three versions of Internet Explorer, and then you won't have the browser prefixes then in your CSS file anymore. So it's pretty good to have some tools like SAS, because it over time you need to adapt your CSS file, and with SAS you can make sure that you can reduce the file size if some things are not required in your CSS anymore. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Stefan.
Yeah. So SAS. Is that another tool that you have to run that transpiles your CSS or your SAS into CSS?
Yeah, this is another tool that is running by GulpTask, and is constantly watching your file system for changes in the SAS files and then automatically compiles it to a CSS. So what you see on the front end is just a CSS file, and you have all the coding possibilities like functions and variables and stuff like that in the SAS files.
And does that tool work everywhere? So on Windows, on OS X, and everywhere?
Yeah, it works the same way on Windows as well as on Mac OS or Linux or wherever you want to have it.
Cool.
Cool. So moving on our things, why would we actually use the web stack? So we talked about this slide for quite a while. If we go to the following ones, I think the audience who's watching the video might be interested on understanding that. Why would we use this? What's the benefit of using the web stack?
From the design perspective, I think one benefit is you have it. What I do with my style guides or in my design projects, I have separate development environment to make sure all the CSS files are well written and optimized for the application or for branding or stuff like that. I don't want to have it. Another benefit is when you use web Yeoman, for my example, the web app, I can directly inject JavaScript files into my SharePoint or CSS files into my SharePoint. And then I can work locally. And this pattern that to work locally in my own design web app project, it is pretty nice because I save a lot of time, because I don't need to upload the files manually to SharePoint all the time, so I can develop locally and can use on-premises SharePoint and can as well use Office 365 SharePoint to get in my stuff. That is the huge benefit from my perspective.
Yep, absolutely makes sense. Can we actually, Stefan, since you're leading, can we go to the following slide? Because I think we're talking about those things over there as well. But in overall, if you think about the web stack, and not just from a design perspective, why would we be doing Node.js? Why we, me as a, let's say, a classic SharePoint .NET server-side developer, I would be interested about those topics.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that we have seen a lot in the past is that times have changed, right? If you, for example, look at the latest things that have been built on Microsoft, like, for example, Delve Web or the new Occlip experience, all of that is based on that new stack. And the great thing about it is that it runs on the client, so there is no footprint for you guys to run that, and it's not yet another internal tool that you have thought about that only you use. So you make it on one hand easier for yourself to allow new developers to help you, but then on the other hand, if you think about the fact that ideally you would want to use exactly the same framework that we do, people who extend it, it only makes sense if you actually use the same tool set that's available out there. And the great thing is that if you choose the tools that are available there, there's a huge group of folks worldwide available who already have a lot of experience on these stacks, right? So why think about something new or think of something new by yourself and not leverage the canis and the expertise that's already there and build on that, right? And that's not only expertise, but it's also tools, right? Whenever you want to build something on the web stack, there are a lot of npm packages, gulp scripts that you can just plug and play into your process, and you can use that and not spend time doing plumbing and not your applications. Another thing that I've experienced, because I've been doing this approach for, I think, almost two years now, and the one thing that I've seen with is that I work on OS X, and there are no wizards. You have to do a lot of the stuff in command line, and it sounds scary at first. But the great thing is that when you learn it, when you set the first step, what you will see is that you will become better developer, because you will actually understand the way it works. And whenever you will get an error, you will be able to see why it's there and what's causing it. And there will be no wizard that will obfuscate the whole thing and that will prevent you from solving the issue by yourself, right? So that's a great benefit that I've experienced in the last time. And finally, another thing that I think that is great, why would you use that, is efficiency. I mean, even if you build an Angular app that's really small, you don't need the 8 GB install Visual Studio with all of its .NET tools, right? Because the only thing that you're interested with is Angular. So why wouldn't you use VS Code, which is like 80 megs, and use that and build it and package it with Gulp, right? So you can do it way, way easier than to use that full-blown tool set, which is great for other things, but perhaps not the first choice you would make if the only thing that you would do is Angular or React or anything.
Absolutely makes sense. That good benefits. And I think one of the things, obviously, which kind of I mentioned there as well, that whenever you are personally as a developer learning all of this new stuff, you're expanding your personal horizon also outside of the SharePoint and Office 365, because this is the stack what's being used across all of the other technologies as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Let's move on things. So let's actually have a quick look on this stuff in practice. And I think Stefan is going to start, and then Waldeck is going to tie in that one more tightly on the SharePoint. So how would I actually then take advantage of Node.js and JavaScript development in the context of SharePoint? But let's first move into the Stefan. So let's have a look on Stefan. It's going to show how to get started on things.
Okay, well, the first thing you need to do to get started is to install Node, and for this you go to nodejs.org, and directly on the web, on the landing page of Node.js, you will find two different versions. This, the version 4.43 that is currently listed there is more for productive use, and if you want to try out the latest features, I would recommend that you install the version 6. And you can simply click it, and then what this will lead you to, it downloads an Windows installer, and then you can just click next, and then you have installed everything you need. Get started with Node.js.
So that's pretty easily doable, so yeah. Not a major deal. And that doesn't take that long, right, Stefan?
No.
So is that only Node, or do you get anything else with?
Yeah, you get the package management as well, the npm installed, and that's basically it. What you get installed with Node out of the box.
Cool.
What about the other stuff then? So now we have a Node.js and npm included. So how do we move on?
Yeah, the next thing that you need to install is Yeoman, which is the core engine of this template you will find at yeoman.io, and this leads you to a one command line which says npm install, which is the Node package management. Install minus g means that you install Yeoman at a global scope, so it's available everywhere in your command line, wherever you try to want to create a new project. You just have to type then yo and the name of the generator. And then you're ready to go after you have installed Yeoman. In addition, what you need to install is JIT. Because when the package manager directly downloads packages from Git in different versions, and this will be done by the Git console tools.
Okay, but basically, the Git has to be installed separately, right?
It has to be installed separately.
Okay. And then Yeoman is installed using the command line, like you said, whenever the Node.js has been installed, so that essentially the command line then understands what is an npm command,
yeah,
which refers to the package manager, Node package manager,
exactly.
And then install means that in the package manager gallery within the internet, so you need to have an internet connectivity, go and find Yo and install that globally available within this machine.
Yeah, and all the dependencies, because when you're dealing with Node.js, you have a file that is named package.json that has all the components where the generator requires and downloads it, the packages then from the internet.
Okay, that's relatively easy enough, and obviously there is some good step-by-step guidance in the internet, and we're going to reference some of those in the video recordings as well for people to get started. But that doesn't seem too difficult. I think probably the most difficult thing about always learning this new stuff and new technologies is the hurdle of getting started, because you need to take some time, you need to really walk through and understand some of the new terminologies. But whenever we link the terminology to an older terminology, or you slightly start realizing what is actually Yeoman, because initially when I heard about Yeoman was like, yeah, what? What are you talking? and there was a lot of other terms as well, but then you gradually start learning what these terms means, and it all relates again back on my previous knowledge around, Yeah, maybe in the C# world I was doing things slightly differently, but there's usually some matching capability within the web platform world as well.
I mean, the good thing about Yeoman is that you can start really easily because you just create a new project and you don't have to worry about gulp and grunt and stuff like that, as long as you know where your application files are or index.html, and you have a CSS folder and you have a style folder that you are really familiar from Visual Studio projects. So you don't have to dig deep into grunt, gulp, or whatever is around, or the generators build off. If you then want to learn more about Node.js and NPM and Yeoman and how this all works together, then you can actually dig deeper into this topic. But the generators are really made so, okay, let's create a project and then start developing, you know.
And makes sense.
There are not many changes that you have to do in the pre-compiled or predefined generator package JSON and stuff like that. So it's a really easy approach to get started with Node.js, just as a development platform and by the generators and the project. So it's really easy to start. There are so many things that you don't have to worry on first hand. Just create a new project, get started, write your code. That's it. And if you like to learn more about, you always can do, and how all the things work in the background, and get more familiar with the whole web developer stack.
Yeah, it's almost like the same with the .NET framework. Yes, you can actually dive in the .NET framework internals if you want, or you take advantage of what it's actually referring and giving to you, and what Visual Studio is giving to you. And then, if you're interested, you can start thinking, how would I extend some of the tooling? Cool. I think this is cool. So I think it's let's then tie in what we're seeing here on the actual development experience. So how would we take the Node.js and implement actual JavaScript thing and put that one in SharePoint? Because I think we need to relate this on the real life development experience as well. So let's move to Waldeck's demo and continue from there. Thanks, Stefan.
All right. So what I wanted to show you is how you can use the new dev stack or the web stack and use that in building solutions for SharePoint. So what I have here is a team site. It is out of the box team site. And one of the things that I wanted to show you is how you would embed script on this page that you would build with the web stack. So I've created here a project, and you can see it's really simple. Actually, and what it does is it writes text on the page, right? It's dead at simple. Next, I have a gulp file in which I have one task, which is called serve. So serve, what will do is it will use the gulp web server, which you could say is kind of IIS Express, to host the JavaScript file that I have here, so that I can refer to it from the web page. So let me go to the command line and let me type gulp serve. So that will start our IIS Express server in a way, and now I can drop the script on a page. So for that, let me go to the README file and copy the HTML. And I will edit the page. And on this page, I will add a new script web part. So I will say insert embed code. I will paste the HTML. I will insert it. It's loading now. It's refreshing the page. Let me save the page. And now we should be able to see our text here, which is here. So let me just zoom in for you so that you can see it more easily. You can see that it's here. And the great thing is now that if I do any change in this file, so I will say hello world from office dev PMP, and I will save it. I will go here and refresh the page. What you will see, you will see exactly the same here, the same text directly here in browser. So that way you don't have to upload anything, refresh. You can just use your web stack developing that solution and refresh the page to see the latest changes directly in your SharePoint site.
So isn't this kind of the same thing as when you're running, for example, creating a provider hosted add-in in Visual Studio, and then you actually run that provider hosted add-in in Visual Studio in your local host when you're testing that provider hosted add-in with SharePoint Online?
But that's correct. It's exactly the same approach, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of serving that content and the application directly within your local host. Obviously, this wouldn't be the setup for production then.
Absolutely, because eventually, I mean, when it's done, you would either upload a file to SharePoint, CDN, you would host it in Azure, whatever you want, right? But during development, it's just easy to have it there in place and being able to refresh it really easily without the hurdle of uploading, refreshing, deploying, waiting. You can just do it directly on the fly, and you've seen like how easy it is to apply a change to my script and refresh the page and see it directly there immediately.
True. And just as well, you could run and use, let's say, the SharePoint RESTful APIs or Azure AD, ADEL to connect to the Azure AD applications or information.
Yes, it'll be exactly the same. You would just expand the script, add these additional calls, refresh the page, and it will be judged us there. And what you see here is that we actually run this script directly in a page, and it runs client-side within the context of this site and user. So with that, I can access JSON, I can access REST APIs, I can do anything the user can do because the script runs directly in a page, right? There is no additional app or it's not an external process, right? It runs directly in browser as the user.
Oh, that's actually a good point because relatively good point, and it gets all of the permissions of the user as well, which somebody might actually consider that as a security threat, maybe, I don't know, but it depends on where do we allow the script to be embedded and executed.
Yes, I think that in a way it would be fair to call this application I trust app, right? Because this app runs as you. If you are admin and you don't know what it is, it could potentially do a lot of harm, right? Because you are an admin. So in this sense, you only want to allow this kind of app only from a source that you trust and you actually reviewed, right? Because true. This app is basically you. It automates your clicks.
True. And by default in SharePoint Online, you can't actually do this by default within a site collections because the scripting is not allowed by default in site collection level, but you can adjust those settings, which does require then tenant level permissions. So it has to be a tenant level decision, and then you can isolate the scripting to be supported only in specific site collections, not in all of the site collections, which is a good thing as well.
That's correct, and we've experienced that ourselves preparing for this demo, actually trying to enable this so that we can run this demo.
That's true. Yes, that's true. But then at the same time, this is a classic scenario which we actually showed while back already in the PNP side as well as a app script web part, which is essentially precisely what you're showing here. But the script itself is still running from the web stack, which means that the development is much faster.
Yes.
And then you can easily start building much more complex scenarios, and we will absolutely do recordings of those in the upcoming webcasts as well. But I think that's pretty nice, and let's actually keep it simple and cut down the demo in this section, and let's continue within the future webcasts in a more detailed and more enhanced demos around what we can then do when the script is actually running within the SharePoint. So let's move back on the slides. Thank you, Waldeck, for this one.
Sure.
Good. Thanks, Stefan and Waldeck, for the demo. So let's actually move on the topics. And one thing that we kind of slightly touched briefly already was that what does the Node.js mean in the classic Microsoft stack, or what does the Yeoman actually means? And I think this is a relatively nice slide. Waldeck or Stefan, you want to walk us through?
Yeah, sure. So we've talked a lot about the new tools, and actually, what you see is that although the names are new, the function is exactly the same, and you can easily relate them. Everything that we talked about to all other tools that you already know. So, for example, Node, you can use Node in two ways. So one way is you actually used it as automation for your build and your tools, and you will use it as your IIS Express. And on the other hand, the thing that we didn't talk about today is that you can use Node.js actually as a framework to build your apps on it. right? So Node is also an engine, server-side code, that can run server-side applications, right? So we didn't talk about that, but that's definitely another way you can use Node. We talked a bit about NPM, and NPM is basically NuGet. It manages packages that you use in your applications. Then we talked about Yeoman, which is basically the way you create new projects. I mean, on OS X, or if you don't use Visual Studio, there is no new project on template. So Yeoman allows you to really easily create new projects with the plumbing in them, so that you can really easily start creating new projects and don't worry about plumbing. We also talked a bit about Gulp, and Gulp is basically the engine that runs tasks, from copying files to packaging, managing, optimizing, and everything, and it's basically similar to what you could do with MS Build. And then another thing that we didn't talk about is TypeScript, which improves the quality of your JavaScript code, right? It helps you maintain the quality of your code and catch errors earlier in process, so not to wait to runtime, but to actually have compile time process that you can use to verify that your code will run as intended.
And I think actually that this line is actually, from my perspective, one of the really important things for a, how would I say, classic Microsoft developer or a SharePoint developer who wants to learn about the web stack, is really to understand that, well, it's nothing more than slightly different tooling what we're using. The objectives are exactly the same. The tooling is slightly more lightweight, though, so you can actually get ongoing faster. You don't have to install Visual Studio at 1.5 gigabytes of stuff within your machine, as an example. But there's kind of a corresponding match between the web stack and the classic Microsoft tooling.
Yes, because eventually when you build stuff, right, you need eventually the same set of tools. You need something to run your automation. You need something to host your application. You need dependency management. You need templates. So eventually you have the same needs, but the tool set is not the same, right?
It's not exactly the same. It's partly lightweight. And what's interesting to see also is the direction where ASP.NET, as an example, is heading, and the .NET 5.0, or is it ASP.NET 5.0,
where... Isn't it called ASP.NET Core?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point, Valdek, actually, good point. But really what they're doing is exactly heading to the same direction as well. Much more lightweight, much more easily manageable, much more faster to build and host as well, which is a
yes,
very
and
nice
I think
thing.
That, yeah, and I think that's important part there is that they choose similar approach, but also one big difference is that whenever you build applications with .NET Core, you actually ship your dependencies with your application. So you don't assume that you run on a place that has the framework on it, right? You build your applications and you ship everything that it needs with it.
Yeah. But then yeah. Again, on this stack, in the web stack, you essentially ship, or even if you think about when we're sharing stuff in the GitHub, you're just uploading the package.js file with your project there, and then whenever you want to get started on actually running that or doing development within your dev box, you just run an npm install.
And it's exactly
Nuget.
The same as you would do in Nuget. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Good.
As far as the generator goes, there is already generators available for ASP.NET 5.
.NET Core
for human.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. One of the things what I wanted to still kind of go through still is linked through this discussion then on where we are actually heading, because then the people might be watching the video and thinking through that, wait a minute, I've heard the story of everything will be JavaScript development in before as well, for example, in the context of SharePoint. And that wasn't actually precisely true. And the key point, what we want to say, and we want people to understand, that we're not saying that everything will be JavaScript development in the future. What we're saying is that you can do take advantage of the web stack within the SharePoint or Office development, but there still, whenever you do enterprise development scenarios, you will still fall back on the, let's say in quotes, the classic ways of doing proper integration with the line of business solutions. So the JavaScript development doesn't actually allow you to do certain scenarios. So you will most likely need to fall back on the on a slightly more advanced implementation techniques. So if we go through this slide, this is kind of an explaining step by step what's happening typically when you're running a JavaScript within a SharePoint using the web stack or using the Visual Studio tooling as well. The JavaScript itself is hosted in a content delivery network, but what we do is that we reference that JavaScript in a SharePoint, and then the JavaScript is getting executed in the context of the SharePoint. Now, if the business logic or if the business objective is to do something more advanced, something which you cannot do with JavaScript, you have to go through or beyond the UX customizations or widgets, you actually still call a web API or a web service or whatever endpoint we want to call that in the internet. I'm just using an example of web API hosted in Microsoft Azure in a Microsoft stack, but just as well, it might be whatever technology which is hosting that. So the web server, the JavaScript is then calling that endpoint, which is hosted somewhere, for example, in Microsoft Azure or Amazon or whatever platform. And really key point, what we talked before we did the recording as well, it doesn't have to be, it's completely technology independent. It might be PHP, it might be Node.js, it might be .NET, it might be whatever. If you're a classic SharePoint developer or you moved already to do more provider-hosted add-in development within a SharePoint, as an example, you will still be doing this kind of scenarios in the when you take advantage of the web stack as well. And then, obviously, the web API calling or the calling outside of the JavaScript is giving us all the opportunities and options, whatever we have available within that platform. So, as an example, in the Microsoft Azure scenario, you would be able to do hybrid integration using Service Bus. You would be falling back on this pattern also if you need to elevate, because when we're running JavaScript within the browser context, you can't elevate your privileges. You're running in the context of the user. But if you would be collecting, for example, feedback to a random a list which has limited permissions in your SharePoint, you would use the web API pattern, essentially. Let's call that pattern, to elevate to an app-only token, and then the app-only token can modify the lists or whatever services within Azure AD, as an example, on behalf of the user. So it's really important to kind of realize that we're not really taking, this is the web stack development is more around improving that UX level customization and making that much more high quality. Well, in many cases, obviously the quality is always dependent on the developer who's implementing stuff, but the tooling should drive better quality as well. We still have so-called backend operations, if you can call this as a backend operations. Code is not running in SharePoint, it's running in that backend system. So moving on things before we are closing up on the session. So next steps, how to get started?
Yeah, we actually thought that it would be great if instead of a recap, we could give you the first step that you can do to set your foot into this new world to you. So we suggest that you try and build your first Office app, and these are exactly the steps that you should take. So go to nodejs.org and install Node, and with that you will get Node.js and NPM, so you will get the basics to actually run your applications. Then install Yeoman and Yeoman Office Generator, so with that you will be able to really easily create your first app and don't worry about plumbing. And there is the command, the dollar sign indicates that that's command line, but you don't actually type that in your command line, right? Then another one is YoOffice. So we really love shouting that around, like, YoOffice. That means that we're creating new projects and applications. And finally, when you're done, just go to command line and type gulpservs.edit, and with that, you'll be able to run your application and see it in action in browser.
That's really simple enough to get started, and then
it is.
getting started on understanding what did we actually get out of YearMan, what are the files, how the scaffolding actually happened. If you're interested, or then you start concentrating on the actual business logic, which is absolutely fine approach as well. But yeah, the easiest way, at least for me, it's always personal. How to learn stuff is always independent, or people learn stuff in a different ways. But at least for me, the easiest way to learn is by doing, repeating these things.
So do you already have an idea what first app will you build? Putting you on the spot.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of options within the stack as well. And I personally, what I'm interested actually on doing is testing different kind of JavaScript frameworks within the web stack together with SharePoint, so React and AngularJS, and getting hang of all of this stuff in the new world as well.
Yeah, and I think you can really easily do that with Node and NPM and everything that you've heard today.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Huge. I think that's pretty much sums up our session. So we went through what is the web stack, what does it actually mean in the context of Office or in the context of SharePoint development as an example. And in some ways, when you think of it, we've been able to do, well, we've been doing this kind of a JavaScript development within the SharePoint context for quite a long time. Using the web stack is making that just much more understandable. And it increases the productivity of the developers as well, and brings tooling, better tooling for people to take hand in. I'd say probably the biggest obstacle for people to understand how to take advantage of the web stack itself is rather the tooling or the terminology. What does it mean, Gulp or YearMan? What does it actually mean? And then whenever you link that to your previous knowledge, it's much more easier to get started and understand what are we actually doing, and then learn more and more how to do this slightly more advanced development scenarios. But any last words from Stefan Waldeck?
Yeah, I mean, I use it for 2 years now for nearly everything, from JavaScript development to CSS developments and stuff like that. So I won't. It's really time efficient to use web stack, because as I said during this webcast, you can work locally, so you don't have to connect to a server, when you save your files, you see actually where, if you have a problem in your JavaScript or in your CSS file or wherever you have it, which is a huge benefit. So from my perspective, I won't change back to a more traditional approach.
Yeah, I don't think you need to move back on the more traditional.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that it is essential for everyone for whom this is new to start. Just start building your first app, experience it firsthand. Just do it. Just set the first step and see what works, what does not work, and I'm sure there will be you will find your sweet spot. With regards to tools and process, and you will be able to make it work for yourself.
Yeah. I think that's a really nice way of putting that. The easiest way to learn the stuff is really start doing, is booking some time in the calendar and then looking into, okay, what does it actually mean, and start just playing around with the new stuff. There's a lot of good guidance already out there. Good. I think that sums up the webcast. So thank you guys for joining again, and we'll come back with a new webcast, with the BMP webcast, sooner or later.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.